Well, over the last 3 weeks, we've been in a series in the Chuck family, we. So in the Chapel Hill United Church family, we. And we start off by saying the Chuck family, we belong. And we explore these concepts of how, as a family, we carry each other's burdens. How we carry each other's burdens. How we accept one another with irrational love. And that, indeed, we belong together and we are God's family together as we confess the reality of who we are before one another and before God. The week after that, we looked at, in the Chuck family, we give. And we talked about generosity and giving and proportionally giving. Not just to the church, but to those things beyond the church. Last week, we looked at, in the Chuck family, we serve. And we talked about how each one of us is called to serve one another. And that we're to use these gifts, this charisma that God has given each person so that the family of God, the body, can actually be all that God created us to be. And today we're looking at a new one, our next in the series, and it's this. If I turn it on. It's this. In the Chuck family we go. Now we say we're an Acts 2 church. With a Matthew 28 commission, an Acts 1:8 mandate, and a Romans 12:2 value. Acts 1:8 says that it says we will go and we will be God's witnesses in here and there and the next place we go. But we are to go and to be God's witnesses. Matthew 28, Jesus speaking to his disciples, and he says that all authority in heaven and earth has been given to him. So go. And to make disciples. There's a command for us. It's not just a command, but we are told to go. And so we as a church go. And then we come. And then we go. And then we come. And then we go again. In many ways you could say we are already a sent people. That God has already sent us to make disciples. Now classically, and indeed correctly, when we think about making disciples, the pointy end of the gospel, we say, is about salvation. And we say the good news is that Christ died for our sins and in rising again defeated the consequence of sin, which is death. That God in Christ has made a way for us to not have the effect of sin for now or forever. We read this in 1 Corinthians 15. This is what Paul says. He's talking to the church in Corinth. He says, "For what I receive I pass on to you as of first importance. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared." This is what the gospel is. This is a point in the gospel, that Jesus lived, died, rose, defeated the power of sin. And it's incredibly important that we get this understanding correct. Jesus came to save that which was lost. Jesus came to ransom his life for many. Jesus took on sin. In fact, Scripture goes further than that. It actually says in 2 Corinthians 5 that Jesus became sin. It's important to recognize that which Jesus did. He saved us from our sins and its consequence. That's the pointy end of the gospel. It's why we should all be ready to give a reason for the hope that we have in heaven. And it's good news. But if that's our only focus, then we miss the fullness of the good news. For many, the gospel is just being reduced to just about going to heaven. Our sins are forgiven, and one day, we get to experience heaven. It's eschatological, which is a great big theological word that means what happens at the end of everything, when there's life, death, judgment, everlasting life, or otherwise. And so often the gospel, for many, focuses on the future, a future event. And it's no wonder when we have this idea why people receive God's grace and don't actually move forward in their discipleship. Because it's all about, because if this is all it's about, then it's not so much for now, is it? Dallas Willard is a phenomenal writer, in my opinion. He's one of the he died, I think, about 12 or 18 months ago. Deeply spiritual man. And he would say that when we reduce the gospel to this whole thing about sin alone, he calls that sin management. That we're just trying to manage this thing called sin, and that's it, that's it, that's all we need to worry about. It's almost like some people say that Jesus came to deal with a sin problem. And from that point of view alone, he has more relevance in our death and our subsequent life in heaven than what he might in our everyday. Now, without detracting from that in any way, the importance of the cross, because it's incredibly important, it's at the pointy end, that's not the fullness of the gospel. Willard points out that the gospel Jesus preached was more about more than just sin management. It was a gospel about the kingdom of God. Or as Matthew said, the kingdom of heaven. There's some reasons why in Matthew it's called the kingdom of heaven. It's got to do with who Matthew is writing to. We won't go into that now, but you'll often see the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven in Scripture. And the idea is that Jesus came to reveal God's kingdom to us. In fact, on more than one occasion, Jesus, we hear John the Baptist saying, repent for the kingdom of heaven is near. Jesus came to reveal God's kingdom to us in the now. And so, as disciples, through us, because we are Christ's ambassadors, we are to help others not just have this whole thing of sin management, again, which is really important, but to help others to discover that the kingdom of God is present. The kingdom of God, that the kingdom of heaven, that heaven is possible now. So the good news is not just something when we get to heaven for the future, but for now. Jesus is more than a forgiver of our sins. He is the author of life, and the life he has for his people is filled with love and grace and hope. And the gospel is meant to be good news for us now. It's where the blind can see both physically and metaphorically, where the poor find meaning and hope, where those who are bound up and captive are freed both physically and metaphorically. So when we talk about being witnesses, about making disciples, about going, we are talking about salvation for the future, but we're also, in the very same sentence, talking about life in the kingdom right here and now. And this is what we are called to do as a Chuck family. In the Chuck family, we go and make disciples. So this morning, that's the context. I'm not speaking too much anymore this morning. This morning, when I'm not going to tell you how you do that. I reckon most of you probably know. But what we want to do this morning is help you to hear some stories about how some people within this congregation are helping people to, are pointing people to Jesus for their salvation, but also revealing the kingdom of God to those around them. So this morning we have some very special guests with us, and it's just going to be me and the girls this morning. So we're going to invite up Deb, Beth, Mel and Dana. Would you give them a clap as they come on up? Come on up, girls. Yes, thanks. Microphones. Thank you. All right. Now, you girls want to come over this side for me, please? There we are. Now, you're sharing the yellow and green mic. There we are. Just talk amongst yourselves as we organise ourselves here. Beth, you're, what would you call that?
Teal.
Teal? And Deb, you're yellow.
I'm yellow.
You're yellow. So I'm going to grab my phone, which is in my pocket, so it's got all my notes on it. So let's just start. So not everybody knows all of you. So we're just going to start a little bit, introduce yourself, why you've been here, what you love about church, etc., etc. So let's start with you, Beth.
So
This is on, yeah.
It's on.
My first time with a microphone. I've got such a loud voice, I don't usually need it. as my children will attest to. I've been to Chapel Hill. Actually, when I, somewhere between 1 and 2 years, I've forgotten actually the date that I arrived. And what I love about this church coming from other different churches is the welcome that I received and how much at home I instantly felt. That was just a wonderful time in my life that I came here and met such wonderful people. And I'm part of a faith group that meets on Tuesday night, and they're an incredibly uplifting and supportive group. And we're a small group of 5, so if anyone else would like to join our group, we meet at my place down the road, so you're most welcome.
Fun for life group.
Do you want to know my name? Did I say my name?
No, but I did. That's okay. It's okay, Beth.
It's
I said your name.
Important.
Beth. Good, thanks. Next, Debo.
Hi, my name's Debbie Costin. I have been coming to Chapel Hill Uniting now, I realise, for 18 years, because I started coming when I was pregnant with Emily, or actually just before I fell pregnant with Emily. I get into lots of mischief around the church and drive Glenn nuts, I'm sure. No?
Not mostly.
Oh, okay, cool.
I drive awesome. Nuts sometimes too, Deb, so fine.
Share and share alike, that's it. And amongst the mischief that I get into around the church, I run a craft group on Tuesday mornings that meets at 9:30, and we go now until about midday, and then I finally go, you guys have to go home because I have other things to do.
Cool. Excellent. Dana.
I'm Dana. I am one of the young adults here. So I actually originally came to Chuck through the young adults group and then kind of merged into the church as well. And I'm also part of the youth here, so 180 and GLOW. Which has been an awesome experience for me so far, and I really love it here. Just like Beth said, just the welcoming environment is really awesome, and I love being part of Chuck.
I'm Mel. I've been coming to Chapel Hill for about 2 years, I think, now. Like Dana, I'm part of the young adults, and that's how I kind of started coming here. I also am part of 180 and GLOW, and also you've probably seen me up here on worship sometimes as well. And just like these other girls have said, I love this church because I just feel so welcome here and so happy to be here with all of you.
Excellent, thank you. Just so people understand what 180 and GLOW are, in case you don't know, 180, or as I like to say to Brett, 180, is our Friday night youth event that happens. And then GLOW is God Loves Our Women with Steph, and that is for year 9s through to year 12 females. There's one FTB, which is also for the boys, but because that's for the boys, you don't do that one. Excellent. Okay. Excellent. So we've invited you, thank you all for sharing that, we've invited you all here to share some of your stories about how you are helping people towards Jesus and how you're helping the kingdom of God be made present. So Beth, let's just hear a little bit firstly about the group that you're a part of.
Okay, I have a great privilege to be a coordinator of Young Widows and Widow Support Group. So this group was formed a long time ago and then disbanded. My husband died coming up to 12 years in June, and at that time there was no such group. And probably about 2 years ago, a little bit over 2 years ago, I felt this powerful calling from God that I was to go and find a group and give some of that love and that support that I'd been given in abundance to help other widows and widowers. So I connected with this group, and as in God's plan, it needed a coordinator. So Wesley Mission Queensland had just taken it over, and they asked me would I come on board, not telling me that they were thinking of disbanding the group as well in terms of support of it. But with God's blessing and my faith group's prayers, we got continual funding for the group, and we have a very active and a very, it's the group that no one wants membership to, but it's an incredibly supportive, and it goes, ranges all the way from the Gold Coast to, we just did a launch up on the Sunshine Coast last year, and I've started a group up there as well.
And how often does that group get together?
Well, in fact, I've got a support meeting this afternoon, and so we run a support meeting once a month. We run different coffee catch-ups all around from the Sunshine Coast to the Gold Coast and all through Brisbane, north side, south side, east side, once a month. I meet individually with widows and widowers who need some one-on-one support, and that I have a phone line that's dedicated to that. Wesley Mission provides, so yeah, so it's quite an active group.
Yeah. So just located totally in the community.
Yes.
And we're going to come back to that real soon. What about your group, Deb?
My group started in 2002. We, Kerry Griffiths, who used to be a part of our mission and outreach team back then, she wanted to raise money for the East Timorese Education Fund. And she invited the church and then went to her kids' primary school and said, hey, come and build a craft group with me. So the plan was just to do this craft stall and nothing more would come of it. But in all honesty, we had so much fun together. So there was two or three of us from inside the church and two or three from the school, and we just kept going. And then Kiri eventually left the church because she moved away and that sort of stuff, and I went, this is cool. I actually really enjoy this, and I'm enjoying the friendships that I'm making outside of church. Let's keep it going. So I've now been running it for the rest of the time.
Excellent. Mel and Dana. Now, you guys are going to have to tag team and work out who's saying what. Tell us a little bit about your group and how that started.
So our group is actually quite new and still kind of developing, which is really exciting for us to be a part of and to see. But basically, I guess I'd say it's a Bible study, unofficially. So Mel and I both kind of had separate visions at different times, but kind of close to each other, about kind of bringing more of our friends who didn't necessarily know much about God or were still kind of exploring faith into a space where they could just, ask those questions and feel comfortable and not judged or anything like that, that they could just come and feel relaxed and just be able to talk about what it means to follow Christ and what that might look like for them, or any concerns or, you know, questions that they might have around that, and that Mel and I could just kind of guide them in that, you know, not necessarily have all the answers, definitely not have all the answers, but just kind of talk about our own experience in that and provide some guidance, or, you know, even connect them into other people that might have information that can help. So at the moment, we've actually got one of our friends from uni that comes pretty regularly. We try and meet once a week, but with uni students, it's quite hard to find a time that
it's so hard when
everyone's
you've got
available.
So much time. Sorry, when you don't have much time as a uni student, yes.
Yeah, okay. but yeah, and we're kind of looking to see where it takes us and see where God leads the group, and we're pretty open to what that's going to look like for us.
Yeah, great. Now, so we talk a lot about creating community and seeing lives transformed by Jesus. And can I just say that for each of these people, the things that they're a part of, they are living that out, some within the context of a church group, but the others beyond. Help us to understand, Beth, a little bit more about those who are beyond the church and how that sort of, how the kingdom of God is revealed through that group.
It's really significant that there's so much references in the Bible about helping widows, and we talk about that a lot in the group. So while our group is not, you know, as Glenn said, based within a church, I do talk about faith as a way of healing and as a way of hope within the group. To sit with really broken people and to share the power of the love and the offer of hope for those people, and to sit with them without judgment, you know, which our group does. So people come and share their stories of loneliness, you know, single parenting, you know, financial woes, and really feeling a lot of from a society that doesn't really care too much for grief. I mean, I'd like to, if I could, dispel the myth that grief is in some linear model and you go through five different stages. That's certainly not true. It has such an impact that it can completely change someone's personality. And everyone's story is unique, and I think that's what's amazing about our group, is that we sit without judgment and we share each other's pain, and in sharing each other's pain, we give each other hope.
And Deb, your group's a little bit different to that. So tell us a little bit more about your group and, yeah, just how that sort of operates.
Okay. So my group has about 12 or 13 people in it, depending on the day. And only four of us are from here inside the church. Everybody else is outside in the community. After doing Walk Across the Room with last year with the church, I decided to get brave and go, okay, guys, you come here to craft group, but where does God sit with you guys? Because I'd had occasional one-on-one conversations, but not that deep. And I actually found out something very interesting. All of the people in my group have come from a church background at some point or another. They've all been baptized as kids or babies, but for whatever reason, they've all left the church. So when Glenn started at the beginning of the year of talking about praying our prodigals home, I went, ha, okay, that's my group. So I've had a lot of interesting conversations from that have stemmed from, starting with, well, what made you leave? And going through to what can we do to have you come home? What would make you want to come back? Just to see where our church would, or this specific congregation would fit in for that, or, I have contacts within other churches and, oh, well, maybe this church would fit for them or whatever. So what I try and offer is, a listening ear, compassion where needed, the occasional, wow, that's really tough, and the occasional, hang on a second, let's look at it from a different perspective.
And your group in particular have helped out. In some ways, they're a part of the church because they're just...
And it's interesting because my group feel like they are a part of the church. They just don't come on Sundays. They come on Tuesday mornings. So we've done a lot of the, or helped out over the years with a lot of the decorations and things that are happening here. I was a part of the WACA group, which is Worship and Creative Arts, team that we have here. So they do the decorations and they actually, put together the worship that happens, here in the church and all the different faculties that, coordinate all that together. And we've helped with, we've done a few of the Palm Sundays and we did the baubles that you had at Christmas time.
That was a big task, we understand. So that deserves a
That was huge.
Seriously. at least a couple of hundred, over 200 baubles.
Yeah, I think we made something like 250.
Yeah.
My fingers still hurt when I think about it because we had to sit there and twist the wire around the little ribbons.
Right there, Deb.
Yep.
The cost of the Hopefully there's no RSI. What's sort of been happening in your group, ladies? I mean, just help us to understand a little bit more about, you know, you said you've got people who want to explore or are open at least. Tell us some of the outcomes and where that's been heading in the last little while.
So we originally started the group because one of our friends was kind of exploring Christianity and I guess expressed to us that she felt she didn't really have a good idea of where to start. So we kind of just said, okay, well, why don't we just start a Bible study for you? We'll just kind of go through some things and answer any questions that you've got. So that's been really exciting. And as Dana said, yeah, we've been trying to do weekly studies. We've tried to structure them, but you know, if we kind of stray from the structure, it's not a big deal because it's more about answering questions than about sticking to a set kind of study. And I guess, yeah, we've only got the one member at the moment, but that's okay. You know, we're going to slowly grow it. But that one awesome lady who is part of our group has come to Jesus, which is really exciting for
us.
Yes.
Excellent. Sorry, Danny.
I was just going to add, for us, like, something we're really aware of is what it's going to look like to grow our group. So when we say that we've only got one, it's not necessarily that, you know, no one else is interested, we haven't got anyone else asking us questions. It's more that for us, we really want to be aware of, as the group grows, the dynamic will change, and we want it to still feel like a safe and open environment. And so we're really being quite prayerful in who it is that we're kind of seeking out to really encourage to join, and kind of gradually building up rather than suddenly having, you know, quite a large group where it may not feel as comfortable for those who are in it.
That's good. But one of the things that I gained from these ladies is that it doesn't have to be a church program or people don't have to be here on a Sunday morning to discover Jesus. And I think this is one of the big things that, you know, I think it's incredibly interesting that we're told to go and make disciples, not to say get people to come to make disciples. Now, please hear me. Sunday mornings are very important for us to be together, but it's not the primary place for these days, and particularly in the society in which we live now, that people will come to talk about spirituality. And so in the context of all of you, you've used things that you're either passionate about or are really interested in or life experience to help point people towards Jesus and the kingdom of God being present. And so I want to encourage us that we all get to do that. Most of us get to do that in our everyday lives wherever we are. These ladies are just all so happen to be a part of a group that do it. And so last question, just we're out of time, last question. How can we pray for you or support you in what each one of you are doing? Let's start with you, Beth.
Just for prayer for support for our group. I think it's very significant that Wesley Mission Queensland took the group on, and we've had a discussion about how the church, and also we meet at Merthyr Road Uniting Church at New Farm this afternoon, so, and how they were so willing to give up that space for us for no cost, and, you know, here, have it for a year and a half, you know, we'll review it later. Yeah. So with a lot of our members who aren't churchgoers, some are, it's just such a positive for them to feel that they are loved by a bigger group and by God, and also that they are heard. So I just probably ask for your prayers for support for that group to, to grow its membership, but for its members, and also for me too, because, I probably suffer a little bit up from the, philosophy that I can't do enough to help people. So sometimes I feel, that I've got to remember, you know, it's not about me. It is about where God's calling me, and it is with God's support. But, you know, in saying that, I am only human, and some of the grief stories, which are, you know, pretty harrowing, I think will, you know, do have a little bit of an effect emotionally on you. So just to ask for that godly wisdom and support from you would be wonderful. And my faith group regularly does, so I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Sounds like a great group. I think I want to be a part of that.
No, you don't.
No, I don't. I meant that in a...
Yeah, we have dinners and family outings.
I love my life group. Sorry, I should just be quiet. Deb. Go, Deb. You know what I mean?
Continued prayer would be fantastic for my group. And craft supplies are always handy. The big thing is continued prayer for my group, that they would continue to ask questions and test what they know and find out what's current, as opposed to what they were learning. Because, I mean, I'm the youngest in my group at the moment. Diane is younger than me. Yay! Yeah.
Not judging.
No, not at all. It's exciting. Trust me. So some of my people haven't come to church in a very long time, and some of our philosophies and things that we teach have changed over the years. And I like to think that we have a more inclusive community here at Chapel Hill, and I'd love to see them come and experience that. So I've had a couple now that come to church for like Christmas and Easter, and I think that's an awesome start. But it would be nice to see us pray for them and encourage them more.
Right.
As I was kind of saying before, I think a big thing that we're looking at the moment is how to expand and what that's going to look like for us. So prayer around that would be amazing, just that we'd have the, wisdom and discernment, I guess, just to know who to reach out to and how to do that and how to go about that in a way that they'll really receive and take on. And also just prayer for those people that may start coming, obviously that their hearts will be open to what this group is about and what God wants them to hear. And prayer for us as we're leading them in that, we'll say what it is that God's wanting us to say to those people in their time. But also from the whole church, obviously there's a lot of collective wisdom in this room that we don't have. We're quite young. We're still learning a lot of things. So if we do come up to you for questions or things that we might not know that someone from our group has asked, it would be awesome if you guys can impart any wisdom and knowledge that you do have, because then that can grow us and then we can grow them through that.
That's good. That's great. Excellent. Why don't we pray for these group in particular, and then we'll wrap up what we're going to do next. So let's pray together. Let's close our eyes and pray. God, we give you thanks that we give you thanks for each of these ladies, Lord. We give you thanks that firstly they know that they're your child, that they know the gift of your grace and your love. And we give you thanks that they know that their future is secure because of what you've done, Jesus. Lord, beyond that, we give you thanks that they're experiencing the fullness of life and the life of your kingdom now. Lord, we recognize that when you come again, the fullness of your kingdom will be made present. But Lord, we continue to ask that for each of these ladies, that in the context of each of their groups, that the good news that the people need that are a part of that group would be revealed. And so, Lord, particularly for Beth and for her group, Lord, we pray for peace and wholeness and hope for their future. Lord, for Deb's group, we pray for a rekindling of their hearts and a starting again of what it means to be your child. Lord, for Dana and Mel's group, Lord, would you give them wisdom? I give you thanks for their humility to ask for help, Lord, but I give you more thanks that they're following what you've asked them to do. And so, Lord, for each of these ladies, would you continue to work through them powerfully so that your kingdom will come and that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you give them a great big hand? They've done really well. Well done. There you go. If you're going to put your microphone just over there quietly on the lectern, that'd be great. Unless Ross turns them down in the meantime. Well done. So you might be saying, that's great. They've all got a great story. I'm not a part of their group. So what? The question is now, what's now for you? What's the challenge for you in all this? I want you to just think for a couple of moments on these two questions. How are you helping others towards salvation? And how are you helping others to embrace or experience the kingdom of God? So I want you to think of just quietly to yourself for the next moment or so, next minute or so, how am I doing these things? Or how could I help these things to be done more? Just take a couple of moments to do that. Lord, we read in Scripture that the angel announced that, you know, on the night that Jesus was born, that the angel brought good news for all people. Good news for all people. That the Messiah was born. Lord, help us to be good news. Help us to be the good news of your kingdom. Help us to help others that need hope. Others that need friendship. Others that need healing. However that might be, Lord. Help us to be your hands and feet. And in doing so, revealing that your coming kingdom has already broken into this world. Lord, would you give us the space in our lives to be kingdom revealers? Lord, may this be, above all else, one of the keys to the fullness of life that we've discovered that we give to others. Lord, at the pointy end of that, we pray for those people and those family in our lives. We know and we believe that life with you is better and best for all people, Lord. So we'd pray that the good news of Jesus that leads to salvation will be given and implanted in people's lives. And that somehow, God, that you would bring wholeness and newness of life to our family and our friends. Lord, help us to play our part in that which you were already doing. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.